The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
Sheila Fogarty is a radio presenter with LBC in the UK. Sheila, you're very welcome to the show. How's the Brexit bonanza treating you?
Well, you know, it's an embarrassment of riches and gifts, as you well know.
Yes, those sunlit uplands. tell me, I mean, I want to get a sense, because obviously we look at all this and we're viewing all of these latest developments through our own prism here. Yes. What is the sense in the UK of where things are at? Because it has been hard to keep up. We had Liz Truss threatening to rip up the protocol and the Attorney General saying it's fine. And then Boris Johnson seemed to want to kind of calm the jets a little bit. And then he was hedging his bets. And now Liz is back to saying rip up the protocol.
Yes. Well, we see it, when I say we, I mean, broadly speaking, it's seen very differently from this prism. And you're right to absolutely start at that point. For a start off, I mean, you know, because I'm from an Irish background, I have a natural interest in Ireland. I know about Ireland in a way that your typical Brit just doesn't, I'm afraid. It is the truth of it. If you listen to our phone-ins, you often hear a real lack of understanding of the nuance of the Good Friday Agreement, you know, just because it's not front and centre in their minds in the way that it would be in the minds of certainly the people in Northern Ireland. But all that aside, there is a real sense, actually, in the calls that I've taken this week and before, but certainly yesterday when it was announced when Liz Truss made that statement in the Commons and then it was debated, there's a real sense that we are reneging on something we agreed. So even if people have no particular interest in Northern Irish politics or no depth of understanding about that, they are alarmed at the idea that the British government will just renege on an international treaty and act like that's nothing. That came through on my calls yesterday very strongly.
But that's interesting, because we're going to speak a little bit later to Mick Mulvaney. He's a former US special envoy to the North. I suppose about the view from other parts of the world of this and of Britain, if Britain were to unilaterally kind of change elements of the protocol. But if you were to describe, I suppose, the views of the average man on the Clapham omnibus, he's not preoccupied with kind of the Good Friday Agreement and customs barriers. It's more kind of, well, listen, we've got a reputation and this isn't doing it any favours.
Yeah, but that's exactly it. But what was interesting yesterday was I spoke to individual businesses call me, obviously, individual businessmen and women call me, but I spoke to the Federation of Small Businesses in Northern Ireland and to Liz Truss's opposite number in Labour. And what struck me about both was that even though Geoffrey Donaldson in the Commons, just before I spoke to them, had said absolutely in clear terms, the border in the Irish Sea must be scrapped. He said that yesterday in Parliament. And I noticed for the rest of the afternoon, both the people I spoke to and other people I saw commenting on these events, absolutely avoided that completely. So even when I raised it with the Labour MP that I was speaking to, I said, look, you know, Geoffrey Donaldson doesn't agree with you or anybody else about this. He insists that the border in the Irish Sea, so-called, must be scrapped. Now, that isn't even what Boris Johnson is suggesting. It certainly isn't what the EU is suggesting. It's what Geoffrey Donaldson is suggesting. And you're all acting as though he's not saying it. He is saying it. He keeps saying it and he's going to keep saying it. So what are you going to do about that? And I don't think anybody has the answer.
The phrase as well that I kind of find a little fascinating is this threat to peace and stability that often gets cited. And Liz Truss referenced it as well. And she's not the only one. They all use it. I don't know what Mandarin and Whitehall said. Listen, let's use this phrase, a threat to peace and stability. And the point I was making earlier is, I mean, if you ask yourself who is threatening peace and stability. I mean, the Provos are fairly agnostic about a border in the Irish Sea. Therefore, I guess by the process of elimination, we're worried about the UVF and their pals, is it?
Well, I mean, the reality is that the unionists, just to use that broad term, are the sticking point, aren't they? I mean, and the election results showed us that, what people campaigned on showed us that, how people voted in the referendum showed us that. So yeah, you're right. I mean, there is one group that the British government still is intent on pleasing, and it's the unionists. And it's interesting to me because during the Brexit campaign, if we can go back that far, in 2019, there was a poll carried out on Conservative and Unionist Party members. And over 60% said that if the loss of Northern Ireland to the UK was the price of Brexit, so be it. And I suspect there were some headless chickens in the party about that, actually. And I think it's the headless chickens that are leading the fray here at the moment.
But it is kind of remarkable as well, though, that they would bring in or they would introduce any notion that that peace might be threatened, isn't it? If this was the other way around, for example, if the withdrawal agreement had led to a border on the island of Ireland between the 6 and the 26 counties, and it were the Provos who were agitating
for
change,
would
Boris Johnson and Liz Truss be saying, listen, we have to rip up this international agreement that we largely drafted because we simply have to keep the IRA happy?
No, you wouldn't. You're absolutely right. No, you wouldn't. But I think it's not that unusual, you know, for them to speak about peace and stability or peace and the, you know, the fragility of the Good Friday Agreement and the balance of the Good Friday Agreement. That's quite typical language here. Even when you're not talking about the protocol, when you're just talking about getting the assembly up and running again, if you remember the previous reason why it wasn't up and running. And so it's not that unusual for them to use that kind of language. But you're dead right. I mean, it is absolutely about the relationship between the Conservatives and the Unionists in the form of the DUP.
So when you speak then, because you mentioned, you know, the two main parties, the Labour and Conservative, and the fact that they're not kind of on the same wavelength as Geoffrey Donaldson, or certainly not using the same language. What is their sense within those parties of what happens? Is it kind of a tweaking of the protocol?
Well, yeah, I mean, the Labour MP I spoke to, the Labour Minister I spoke to, Shadow Minister I spoke to, but was very much of that view that there are problems for some businesses, not all, in relation to the protocol, and we can address them one by one. We can address them, you know, in the right tone, in the right spirit, without this sort of grandstanding and, you know, saber rattling that we've seen from Liz Truss and Boris Johnson. But again, And I think they're right. I think that is the sensible way to go about it. We saw it with the medicines agency and, you know, reaching a different agreement to make sure that medicine supplies were secured. But, you know, the reality is, if in the middle of all of that pragmatism and common sense, you still have, albeit a relatively small grouping, saying it has to go. It has to go completely. And until that is resolved, and God knows how that's resolved, I think you're still going to see the saber rattling, because that's all about pleasing the unionists.
Of course, the backdrop to all of this is Brexit and the direction of travel, the economic direction of travel post COVID. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you buy in at all, Sheila, to the narrative that, you know, COVID helped to paper over the cracks for a while and reality is beginning to set in?
About the damage Brexit is doing to the
economy? Yes.
Yeah, I think it's starting to reveal itself, but very, very, very quietly, because hardly anybody's talking about it. We are here at LBC, but it's not many people are really talking about it. You know, you have these whopping great reports that prove the juggernaut of damage that Brexit has been in many sectors, and people just don't want to talk about it. I honestly think I think we're in post-traumatic Brexit disorder over here.
All right. Okay. On that note, Sheila, we will talk to you again soon, I hope. Sheila Fogarty is a presenter with LBC in the UK. Liz Truss has done this to placate the ERG within the Conservative Party. It is her only chance, the DUP position. It is only perchance the DUP position matches hers. Without support of the ERG, the government would fall. So says one listener, Brexit was driven by racism, xenophobia and bigotry. So it serves them right that it's all falling apart. The head of the IMF warned them that leaving the EU is like leaving the Premiership to play in the fourth division. There was no comparison. But Emmett says, Kieran, so disappointing to hear your rant. Of course, this problem was inevitable after Brexit. But you forget that ever since the Good Friday Agreement, both governments have been tippy-toeing around protecting the peace, usually reminded by Sinn Féin, which was code for the thugs and the black berets must be jollies along lest they start murdering again. You need fresh Kilkenny air to clear your head, so says Emmett. Anyway, Emmett, thank you for the text. 53106.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.